Good morning. This morning I'd like to talk to you about investments. And whether we realize it or not, everyone in here has investments. Whether we invest in our school, whether we invest in our work, whether we invest in sports, whatever we invest in, we have investments through our life. But this morning I'd like to talk to you about two very important investment plans that are described in Matthew 16, 19 through 20. These investment plans are more than just work, more than just physical investment plans, more just putting money into something and getting money out, but this is something that can be life-changing. These are investment plans that are both, one is spiritual and one is physical, and both are very life-changing. The first one I want to talk to you about this morning is a physical treasure, a physical investment plan. This plan varies according to each person, because what we treasure or what we value changes with each person. It may be your money, it may be your car, it may be your phone, it may be your laptop, it may be an iPod, it may be whatever we hold and value. These are the benefits of this investment plan, the positive end result that we get out. The effort needed for this plan, there isn't any. You live your life, you keep going on, you just do what you normally do, and this is the plan. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it tells us that this is temporary, that what we see isn't always what we get. And in Luke 12:15, it tells us to beware of covetousness. It tells us that what we see here isn't really here, isn't really what we're going to get. This physical plan only has one end result. It only has one thing that can really be promised, one thing that is actually assured. And that's in 1 Timothy 6:9, and it tells us that the only thing that this plan promises is perdition and destruction, absolute destruction. And in Luke 18:18, it tells us about a rich young ruler. And this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, what must I do for eternal life?" Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments." He says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he tells Jesus, he says, "All right, Jesus, I've done all these things. What else must I do?" And Jesus tells him, he says, "Go sell your possessions. Go sell all of them and then give to the poor." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful because he was very rich. See, God put verses in the Bible like Luke 12 and 2 Corinthians 4:18 for a reason. Money is very attracting. The desire for money can be very influencing. But what we need to know is that this is all temporary. This plan is very flimsy. This plan isn't very worthwhile. It's not worth putting your effort into it. Matthew 6:21 tells us that where our treasures are, our heart will also be. Is this where your heart is? The next investment plan I want to talk to you about this morning is one that's a little more promising, one that's a little more permanent. This one is a spiritual treasure, and this one consists of things that we may take for granted, but things that every Christian gets for being faithful. Things like answered prayer, things like everyday blessings, a Savior, a place to worship and fellowship where we are this morning, and things to come, a positive end result such as eternal life and heaven. The thing that separates this investment plan from the first one, though, is that this one takes effort. This one takes much more hard work. This one takes a lot more effort that you have to put in. For all you gardeners out there, a fruit tree, you don't just set it in your living room and it's going to grow fruit sitting in your living room. You have to plant it in good soil. You have to water it every day, make sure it gets sun, and then it'll bear fruit. In Luke 18, it tells us about the rich young ruler, and it tells us that shows us the importance of giving. Matthew 10:27 talks to us about evangelism. It tells us that we need to shout the gospel from the rooftops, not just sit in our homes and talk to our family about it or come to church every Sunday and talk to our friends about it. We need to get out and shout it from the rooftops. And then in Matthew 4:10, Jesus makes it plain that we need to serve and we need to worship. These things aren't very hard. These things aren't very strenuous. Jesus isn't asking us to go to church and then break our arms to get to heaven. He's not asking us to go and crack our legs in half because that's what our ticket into heaven is. He's not asking us to go run a marathon, go run our 26-mile marathon, and then once you do that, you have your ticket to heaven. Well, what makes this so much better of an investment plan? Matthew 6:20 says that this plan isn't temporary. This plan isn't just now. This plan isn't just tomorrow. This plan is everlasting. It tells us that moth nor rust will destroy our benefits, our end result. James 2:5 says that this is promised. The poor of this world are the heirs of the eternal kingdom. Again, is this where your heart is? And now this morning, before I go on, I want to talk to you something about priorities. Before you pick which plan you want, before you pick which plan you want to invest in, we need to first look inside ourselves. We need to see where our heart is and where our entire heart is. Because God doesn't give us an option. He doesn't say, oh, Sunday you can do my investment plan. Sunday you can be a Christian. And then Monday, you don't have to be. Tuesday, yeah, you can be a Christian, and then Wednesday, you don't have to be. God is telling us that when we want to invest in this plan, we need to invest in it, not just sit here and pretend like we're doing it one day out of the week. It tells us that in Matthew 6:24 that we cannot serve two masters. And then in Revelations 3:14, it tells us about the lukewarm church in Laodicea. It tells us about how God would rather them be hot or rather than be cold, telling us that he would rather either worship him or worship him not at all. He wants us to be wholehearted. He wants a wholehearted commitment. He doesn't want us to be sitting here and just worship him on one day. And see, this is where the devil's part gets easy. Because when you come on Sunday and then you don't worship Monday, you're not investing in God's heavenly plan. Because see, when the devil has part of you, he really has whole. Not just part. What the devil has to offer may look good to us. It's very attracting. Money and boats and cars, they all look very fun. But there's something that we need to realize, that this is all temporary. And we need to, if you're going to take one thing from this lesson this morning, I really hope you would hear this, that as people, we need to see transparently. We need to start seeing through the things of this world. We need to see that these things aren't lasting very long. This building, this physical building, this isn't going to be here maybe in 20, 30 years. That maybe that street military out there, that might not last as long as we might think it is. And in Luke 9:25, God tells us, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? I can give you the world, but what is it going to do? If this doesn't mean anything, if this isn't going to last, then why would you want it? Why do you need it? God isn't asking us to be perfect Christians. This plan isn't telling us that we need to be perfect. This plan isn't telling us that to be this, you have to be sinless. He's not asking the impossible. He's not telling us something that we cannot do. He's just asking that when we do it, we put our entire heart into it. That we don't just sit here and be Sunday morning Christians or Sunday night Christians, that when we do this, we think of him every day of the week, and we worship him every day of the week. Well, now we have a choice this morning. Now you have a choice this morning. You can walk down the aisles and make your first step to a heavenly plan. The first step is to believe in John 3:16, and then you have to repent in Acts 2:38, and then you confess in Matthew 10:32. And then you can be baptized. The water's ready here this morning. This last step to the heavenly plan, Mark 16:16. And then you're added to his church, his kingdom, and his family. But then he asks one more thing. He says, you keep that wholehearted commitment. You be faithful unto death. In Revelations 2:10. If you have any need, please come down these aisles as together we stand and sing.